Everybody. Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord.
We may be few, but I know we're mightier in voice than that. Amen. Praise the Lord. I was so hoping for 70 degrees, but the snow's going away quickly. We'll rejoice in that. Welcome to Wednesday Night Bible Study. We are so glad that you are here. I see a lot of familiar faces, but maybe we have some visitors who are joining us online. If you are, there's a bit.ly link that we'd like you to click on and answer a couple questions so we can connect with you. If you check that out, we would be delighted to hear from you. We also have going on right now a promo for Save Our Children. And so we have a video that we're going to go ahead and play right now. If you want to write that $4 million check tonight, you can write it out to CGC, and I will make sure that they get it.
Yeah.
Amen. We do believe that our children are the church of today. They are not the church of our future, but they're the church of today. And Save Our Children impacts us in our district. It impacts us in our church. And so we encourage you to pray about this Sunday. This coming weekend is our last final offering. It's not really final. We're always giving. But for this round, it's going to be our final offering. So we encourage you to pray about that, consider that, and see if the Lord would lead you to help contribute towards that. Even if it's $1. If 4 million people gave $1, they would meet their goal. So don't dismiss what you can give. Let the Lord multiply that. And if you'd like to give and continue to support the kingdom, we have several options for you to do that. You can give online. You can give in person at the boxes outside near our Welcome Center. You can mail it in. Thank you, Sister Weekly, for the notes. I always enjoy seeing those notes. And then you can also give online through our mobile app. If you don't have that, Church Center, that's the app you want to look for. And if you are wanting to give to that drive, make sure that you designate your funds to go towards Save Our Children. Or if you're writing on your check, all you have to write in the memo is SOC. We like abbreviations around here. It's a little bit easier, and we like to find easy sometimes. Other times, we just have to plow through it. Easy. What might not be so easy is somebody who's missing a key. Oh, somebody claimed the purple hearing aid, so yay. But now we have a Ford key. So if you're missing your key, we have it. I don't know. There's no other markers on this other than it's simply a key. So if you're missing one, we will have that for you here, and you can take that with you. This Friday, April 5th at 7 o'clock, we are going to have Laborers in the Harvest event, and we're inviting you to come and come to this event that's going to be dedicated to people who want to help serve in the altar. And when we say serve in the altar, what we're talking about is coming up front and praying with people who have needs. And so this Friday, 7 o'clock, show up here, and you can invest into learning and sharpening your skills to help other people. Amen? That's what we're here for, is to help each other. So we invite you to come. Everyone is so quiet tonight. You just have our listening ears on. Praise God. Pastor Peter, you're going to have to rev them up tonight. Next Monday through Wednesday, we're going to have our all-church corporate prayer and fasting for 3 days. So start thinking about that. We will have some guides for you this coming weekend for focusing on this fast, but we encourage you to participate in this, how you feel the Lord is leading you, and it is just something that happens when we come together as a body, and all of us are unified with one focus, and we can spend some time really focusing, prayer and fasting, and asking the Lord what he wants to do right now in our hearts, in our minds, and also in this body. Praise God. You can stand with me. Sunday, April 14th is going to be an exciting service. We always think that our services are exciting, or at least I do, but this one's going to be even more exciting because it's going to be a Jubilee service where we're going to come and celebrate what God is doing with praise, worship, and testimonies. So we have that coming up on the 14th. Any prayer requests tonight? I see a few lifted hands. The Lord knows. Share that prayer request with a brother or sister next to you. And let's pray together tonight. The Lord is here. I'm so thankful that we serve a God that we don't have to ask him to come. We just simply have to step into his presence. And so many times we miss him because we aren't expecting to see him. And it's Wednesday night, and some of us are a little bit tired, and some of us just can't get our hands warm tonight. But God is here, and he's already moving, and his presence is sweet. And if we will just close our eyes and spend some time, pray with me right now and invite him in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you that we can come together. We thank you that we can have the privilege of being in this house, in your house, with our brothers and sisters. And Father, I pray right now that you would just help us to step into your presence, to help us to be sensitive to what you desire to do tonight. Lord, I know that you are already here. I know that you are already moving. I know that you are already working. And I pray that you would continue to do that. Bless every heart and every mind, God. Open every ear to hear from you, Lord. I pray that the word you have given Pastor Peter, that you would anoint him as he delivers that to us tonight, that we would receive your word, that we would be transformed, that we would be renewed, that we would be challenged, that we would be restored, God, in ways that only you can do. Father, I pray for those who are sick in body and not able to be here tonight. Perhaps they're joining us online. Lord, we're thankful that you are a God who can be here and you can be there. You are present wherever we are. And God, I pray that you would move and that you would minister in homes and hearts and that you would provide healing. And have your way tonight as we lift you up and we glorify you for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen.
You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore. Broken and great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. Great are you, Lord. You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken, and great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath
in my lungs,
in our lungs.
So I'm gonna worship
so
you, Jesus.
We pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath
pour out our praise to you only. And all the earth will shout your praise, our hearts will cry, these bones will sing and pray, are you Lord? And all the earth will shout your praise, our hearts will cry, these bones will sing,
your
I want more. Let's raise our hands and just tell Jesus, God, I want more of you tonight. God, wherever I'm at, I just want to be a little bit closer. I want to know you a little bit more. God, I want more of you. I want more of you in my life. I want more of you changing me. I want more of you influencing me. I want more of you helping me, God. God is good. I really believe God honors that prayer because it's so simple, and I think it's honest. This idea of, God, I just want more of you. God, I got to be a little bit closer. I can even imagine, you know, if you were here tonight and you were doing something horrible today, and you're standing and saying, God, I need more of you. God's like, yes. That's somebody who's pursuing me, somebody who's walking towards me, somebody that's gonna, they're trying to get a hold of me. The Bible says if we will go closer to God, if we'll just say, you know, just take a little step, God, I want to get a little bit closer to you, it says he's going to come closer to us. He honors this prayer, this, God, just give me more. Man, God is so good. God is so good. You could be seated tonight. Tonight is our family-focused service where we try to make things a little bit, I don't want to say fun, because we've had fun, we've had challenge, we've had encouragement, but we want to take a little bit of a different slant on the series that Pastor Roy is speaking, and so we'll get to that in a minute, but as a reminder, in February and in March and January, Pastor Roy taught on opportunity knocks, and we kind of went with that flow. We talked about how opportunities are all around us. Some of them are small, some are big, but they're there. In March, we talked about the idea that the obstacle in your life is an opportunity. It is an opportunity to grow and learn and be closer to God and to the people in your life. And so tonight, the series Pastor Roy has started just recently is The Power of Boldness. And your first one was part one, right, Pastor Roy? And your what? Introduction. Okay. But are you going to use part one, two, three, four, like kind of like that with the numbers? Okay. This is going to be The Power of Boldness, part C. Okay. You stay with the numbers. I'll stay with the letters. Okay. I don't know what happened to A and B. We're just going with C. The Power of Boldness, part C. But a couple of announcements. Let me get some water. A couple of announcements. I was trying to sneak in a couple family-related announcements here, but we had a date night in March that was a blast. Very tiring. I think I'm still recovering. No, I'm just kidding. It was a great time. And if you're wondering what it was, you just bring your kids and drop them off, and we'll feed them and hang out with them, and you can go with your spouse and have a date night. It's pretty cool. So coming up in May, we have one on May 11th. Now, you might say, well, Peter, that's like 2 months away. Well, you know what? Most of you aren't planning 2 months out in advance, and so put it on your calendar now, and then it will be there when other things try to come onto your calendar. So good thought. May 11th, 4 to 8 p.m. And also, because I'm good friends here with my boy Roman, there's a spike ball group on April 6th at 2 p.m. right here at church. Come play spike ball with Roman. Even if it's snowing, you're going to be here, right? Now that I announced it, no taking it back, okay? Spike ball group. So Pastor Roy recently started this series on boldness, The Power of Boldness, part one. Tonight we're going to know The Power of Boldness, part C. To start tonight, I need some volunteers. Now, don't raise your hand just yet. You don't know what I'm asking you to do. I saw you, little man, in the back, because I might have been saying, let's go clean the toilets. You still got your hand in the air? I'm just checking. No, okay. So, that's a lesson there in life. When someone asks this, I learned this in the Army. When someone asks for volunteers, try to figure out what they're asking for first. Because if I said I need volunteers and I'm going to hand out $100 bills, I'd get a lot of people down here, right? Yeah, Brother Kraske almost got off his seat right there. Sister Kitty, man, this is going to be a race. So tonight I need some volunteers. I need some people who are willing to be a little bit bold, if you can do that, right? You won't have to do anything physical. I think it'd be beneficial if you had a small sense of humor, even a very tiny one. A sense of humor the size of a grain of a mustard seed would be helpful. I need 8 volunteers. So who's going to put up their hands? I need adults. Come on. Again, Roman, there you go. That's how you pay me back. Right there. Come on down, dude. Brother Kerry Mellon, come on down. Okay, come on. Who else we got? You guys, I just need 8 volunteers. It's okay. It's okay. It's not horrible. Do you want to come down, ma'am? No, you don't want to come down? Okay, because I can start calling y'all. There we go. There we go. Right there. Brother Jerry's going to come down. Oh, Sister April, come on down, Grant. Come on down. What do we got? 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay. Oh, there we go. Cotto, come on down. 7. What do we got? We got 1, 2. We got a good mix here. Where's my guy? Where'd he go? No, not you. Well, yeah, you're my dude. You're my dude, but I was going to get Isaiah here just a minute. You had your hand up, little man. Come on down. Come on down. Okay. So, I'm going to ask you a question, and I just need you to just confidently tell me what you know of this, okay? Can you do that? Okay. Could you describe the United States tax program and how there's tiers and tax brackets?
No.
No, just like, do you know how we pay taxes? Yes. Do you pay taxes? You don't know. You don't. Okay. So you don't understand how it works, like if you make more money or less money or no? No? No. Okay. That's okay. That's okay. Just stay right there. Could you help me, like, if you wanted to go about, like, welding the leg of a table to, like, the top of the table, what would you, like, how would you start that? What would you think?
Get fire.
Get fire. This is good. That's good. What else do you think you'd need?
Metal.
Metal? We're getting there. This is what else?
Tools.
Tools. That's pretty good. Well done, sir. Brother Kerry Mellon, could you describe to me what it feels like in Iraq when the temperature is 150 degrees and a sandstorm comes in?
No, I can tell you what that feels like in Saudi Arabia, and it feels like you want to die.
You've been there.
I've been there, yeah.
And what is it, I mean, other than want to die, how would you describe it to somebody who's never been there?
Well, on the flight line with the engines running, it's 140 degrees, and you must carry water or you get a reprimand. And if you don't have water, you pass out and die.
And die. It's just it's water or die. Those are your options. Okay, Brother Roman, can you explain what an NSAID is and how it works when it gets in your body?
It's that thing we talked about earlier.
You guys were talking about it before church, an NSAID.
Can I ask for a definition of NSAID?
This is not a spelling competition. NSAID, it's spelled NSAID. NSAID.
I would have no clue.
Oh, too late. We're moving on. Okay, I need to ask you, what's it like to drive like a real race car? Is there anything I should know before I do it? Like one that people might have raced somewhere?
I just go to the racetrack. I don't know what it's like, but I've been there.
What do you think it would be like to describe to somebody what you know based on what you saw?
It's like really like intense and like a lot of pressure on your head.
Oh, this is good. Thank you. Sister April, what is a timing belt and how would I go about replacing it in my vehicle? What should I think about?
I would definitely call the gentleman next to me and ask him how to do that because he definitely would know how to handle that.
Okay. Kate, Sophie, come here. Come here. Pastor Jerry, can you show me how to spin this on your finger for 15, 20 seconds? Oh, look at this. Wow. Well done, sir. Well done, sir. It is a women's basketball, okay? Or actually, it might be a junior. Lastly, I have a question. Have you ever painted before?
Yeah.
You paint? Do you paint, like, could you, if I asked you to, could you paint, like, a realistic, like, wildlife-type painting of, like, ducks and wolves and stuff?
No.
No, but if I asked you how I would start, or what would I start with the animals or the background, like, where would I get my paint?
You would start with, like, a sketch, and then, like, get all the paint. And then just start painting.
Okay. Have you ever done that before? Like painted a wildlife, like realistic scene?
No, I'm not that good.
So this is a pretty good guess. Let's give all these people a hand. Didn't they do a good job? Go ahead. You can have a seat. Now, these questions would get a little bit different if I asked them to different people. Right? Right? Now you don't get a choice. Now I'm coming to you. Brother Rossing. I told you. You didn't know, but I told you. Like, if I wanted to paint a realistic wildlife painting, Like, how would you go about doing that? Like, what would you start? What's the mindset?
An idea.
It starts with an idea, but where do you go from there? Like, I have lots of ideas, but I...
Then you start planning it, putting it together piece by piece, background to the front.
Oh, you start with the background to the front? Have you ever messed it up?
Right.
You've painted a few of these?
Constantly.
Constantly. Did it sound like he knew what he was talking about? Okay, let me... Where are we going here? I got a list here. I got a list. Sophie, give me that basketball again. Brother Jerry, have you ever driven a race car? Tell me what it feels like.
Which kind of race car?
You pick. You tell me what it feels like.
A drag race car?
Yeah.
Okay. So it feels like, depending on how much power you have, feels like you're falling off a building, but forward. And so, and you're very confined. The roll bars are really close, so if you're claustrophobic, it's not good. And you're strapped in with like 5 straps, so it's intense. And there's a lot of things happening, and if you miss one of those things, like shifting gears, and you got to do all this order of things, and if you mess one up, you lose. So...
It doesn't just go like it does sometimes when I miss the gear on my car. No, okay. Casey, could you help me? What is an NSAID and how does it work in the body?
She already knows that. An NSAID is a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drug, and it helps get rid of pain and inflammation.
Well, I could read the helps get rid of it on the back of the ibuprofen bottle. Like, what does it do in there? Like, is it like floating around? What part of the body does it go to? Does it? Tell me about this.
Okay, it gets metabolized in the kidneys, and it interferes with the inflammation cascade in the body.
Have a seat. Should I have it before or after I eat?
You should take it with food.
With food, okay. How do you know this?
Because I'm a pharmacist.
Because you've studied it, okay. Just so everybody knows, nobody knows that I'm bringing this to them. Nobody knows these questions are existing. Nobody knows I'm asking them these in advance. Kenley. Show me how to spin a basketball. It's a littler one, so it might be a little bit different. It's the timing. Look at the tight spin he gets on that thing, though. It's okay, man. Oh, there we go. There we go. Wow. Oh, my goodness. Hey, shout it out. Like this isn't the first time you've done that, right? No? But you seem pretty confident. Like, if I had asked you the medicine question, would you have been just as confident?
No.
How come you can do that?
Lots of practice.
Really? Okay, good. Can you put that back at the garage at the end of the night? Oh, there's an Easter egg. He's not here tonight, so I can't ask the question. But Scott Graper, I was going to ask him about the welding. Brother Jerry, what is a timing belt, and how would I replace it in my vehicle?
A timing belt is a belt that goes from the crankshaft to the camshaft, and the camshaft on a 4-stroke engine turns 4 times slower than the crankshaft, so it has 2 different gears for that, and it keeps it all in time, the 2 different rotating things. And to replace it, you would have to take all of the front part of an engine apart and replace it. And when you replace it, you have to make sure all of the alignment marks are aligned properly, because then it wouldn't be in time.
Sounds like he's done that before. I watched my father-in-law do that in 100 degrees in August in Florida under a tent. Fun. That first group of people we talked to, thank you for all of you participating. I asked you to step up and be bold. And you, most of you gave me an answer. I really set you up bad there, dude. I'm sorry. But do you want to know a secret? I bet you most people up here wouldn't be able to explain the U.S. tax program. Okay? It's okay. Okay? Maybe a couple of the accountants we have here, right? But it's interesting to hear people explain something that they don't know much about, that they haven't experienced, that they haven't practiced. But they'll try. I'll try. I'll say anything, right? I'll make myself look like an idiot. I'm not afraid to. I would have come up here, right? But when you hear somebody who knows what they're talking about, it just sounds more confident, right? It sounds more bold. And so boldness is a lot easier when you know what you're talking about, when you've experienced it, when it isn't fake. Boldness without knowledge or experience is just words and a lot less impactful. It's amazing how much more bold you are about something when you know something about it or when you've experienced it or practiced it. So let's go to the verse Pastor Roy's been reading, Acts 4, verses 13. And it says, when they observed the boldness of Peter and John and realized that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were amazed. But let's rewind. So we're talking about boldness. This is our verse, right, Pastor Roy? Let's go back to verse 7. And we're going to pick up here and see if there's something along the way that tells us where this boldness comes from. Okay? Verse 7, it says, and they had Peter and John stand before them, and they began to question them. By what power or in what name have you done this? Then Peter was filled with the Holy Ghost, filled with the Holy Spirit, and said to them, rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today about a good deed done to a disabled man, by what means he was healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified and whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you healthy. This Jesus is the stone rejected by you builders, which has become cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And when they observed the boldness of Peter and John and realized that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were amazed and recognized that they had been with Jesus. You know what the two prerequisites to boldness were in this story? Being filled with the Holy Ghost and having been with Jesus. Being filled with the Holy Ghost and having been with Jesus. And if I can add a third, you know what the third one is? Willing to step out. Willing to say, you know what? I'm here. I don't know how much more prepared I'm going to get. I've spent the time with Jesus that I'm going to spend, and I'm going to say what I know and trust that God will take care of it. And they could tell the boldness. They could tell whether somebody has replaced the timing belt or not. They could tell whether somebody has been to the Middle East or not. That's a great answer. I didn't know you had been there, so I was going to have to answer it, but you got it right on the first time. So they could tell whether it was real. This word boldness in the Greek is really talking about freedom in speaking or unreservedness of speech. Sorry, they spoke open. They spoke frankly. They spoke without concealment. Their boldness, though, came from being with Jesus and being filled with the Holy Spirit. It didn't say that they noticed the boldness of these men and noticed that they had just stuck their neck out and winged it. It said they noticed their boldness for they had been with Jesus. That's what they noticed. We see boldness in the Spirit is a result of being with Jesus and being filled with the Holy Spirit. But that's not the last mention of boldness in this chapter. Acts 4, verses 29. So Acts 4, 29, they go home after they've been threatened. And what do? They pray to God. And this is what they pray. And now, Lord, consider their threats and grant that your servants may speak your word with all boldness. So what else did they do? They asked for boldness. It's interesting. You'd think after that ordeal, they would have been like, look at us, look at how bold we are. We're super great. They're like, God, we need boldness. They weren't saying, God, help us to be confident. They weren't saying, God, help us to make things up on the fly. They said, we need boldness because they'd experienced this. Verse 30, while you stretch out your hand for healing and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus, when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God boldly, an infilling of the Holy Spirit and spending time in prayer, and boldness comes out of it. They spoke with the word of God boldly. This isn't the only time we see this idea. Moses, in Exodus 34, we read how Moses goes up to the mountain. He spends 40 days and 40 nights with God, and he comes down, and what do they see? Don't say boldness. It's a trick. They see a shiny face. They see a difference in how he's looking, a difference in how he's approaching the world. Why? Because he's been with Jesus. And so we're learning that boldness in God, boldness in the Spirit comes from being in Christ, spending time with Christ, knowing what he wants, reading his word, practicing following his word. And the stories go on and on because David had boldness with Goliath, but do you think that came from him just saying, "Look, I got, yep, I'm going to do it"? No, he spent hours and hours and days in the wilderness praying and fighting off animals, right? Peter's boldness that we just heard about came from years of spending time with Jesus, and it came from failures. Go read through the story of Peter and how his boldness failed a lot. I would argue because it wasn't boldness from the Spirit. It was boldness from a guy like Peter that's just like, "I'll do it. I'll try it. Yeah, I'll jump out of the boat." And it was based on his own like, "I can do this," my confidence. The Bible says that the Bible is written. It says, "Holy men of God spoke as they were" what? "Moved by the Holy Spirit." This should hopefully be a comforting to me. I think this is a comforting message because there's this fear that, oh, I can't step out. Pastor Roy's telling us to be bold. I can't step out. I don't know what to say. And I got to focus. I'm gonna practice being bold and practice what to say. It's like, whoa, stop. I'm going to try to make it easy. The easier thing is, let's spend time with Jesus. Let's get in the process. Let's get in the flow. And the Spirit will give us boldness. It will give us the things that we're supposed to say when we're supposed to say it. The opposite story is also true in the Bible. Acts chapter 19. We're going to start at verse 8, sister. I moved it back. This is Paul. He's at Ephesus. And it says, "And he went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of God. But when some were hardened and did not believe, but spoke evil of the way before the multitude, he departed from them and withdrew the disciples. And this continued 2 years, so that all who dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greek." So here he is. He's speaking with boldness for months and months and months, talking Jesus. Everybody hears the name Jesus. And now we get to verse 11. "God was performing extraordinary miracles by Paul's hand, so that even face cloths and aprons that touched his skin were brought to the sick, and the diseases left them." Talk about boldness. "Hey, I don't need to touch him. Just bring an apron. Just bring like a handkerchief. I got you. I'm going to pray over this. You take it back to that sick person." Wow. That's some boldness, right? "Now, there were some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists, who also attempted to pronounce the name of Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, 'I command you by the name, by Jesus that Paul preaches.' And this seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish high priest," these seven sons were all doing this. They were walking around and saying, "Paul's been bold. He's been healing people in Jesus' name. I'm just going to walk and say the same words he said. I'm going to be so bold, I'm just going to walk up to people and be like, 'Hey, in Jesus' name, who Paul preaches? In Jesus' name, who Paul preaches? In Jesus, look at the boldness. Ha ha!" But it's funny because one of the evil spirits responded to them. And the evil spirit goes, hold on, excuse me? I know Jesus. I recognize Paul, but who are you? Your boldness doesn't do anything here. Your confidence doesn't do anything here because there's no spirit behind it. There's a difference between boldness based in relationship and boldness based in confidence. The difference is what your confidence is in. How many people ever watched The Sound of Music? Come on, you can admit it, men. Right? There we go. Thanks, Brother Kerry. A lot of guitars in that one. Yep, see where we go. And what's one of the lines to her song? She goes, "I have confidence in confidence alone. Because of what you see, I have confidence in me." You know that song? He knows it. Malachi knows it. The difference is what our confidence is in. So Proverbs 28 says, "The wicked flee when no one is pursuing them, but the righteous are as bold as a lion." Now, what's interesting is in the Old Testament, they translated that word to bold, and that word means to trust or to be confident in. a lion is confident in who they are because they've gone through it. Like, yeah, I am in the Serengeti. I am in the Sahara. I have the buffaloes, the antelopes. They've all come after me and lost. I know who I am. I am the king of the jungle. And it says the righteous are as bold as a lion. What are the righteous? The people that are choosing to live the right way. The people that are choosing to follow God. And so here we have another prerequisite, this idea of, hey, if I just follow God, I'll be as bold as a lion. And that's where, once again, I take the break to say, you don't have to be the boldness. The boldness comes from the Spirit, which speaks through us. And so those moments where you might be talking to your neighbor, or you might be on that virtual call, or you might be talking to a friend, and they say something, and all of a sudden you're just like, oh, yeah, well, let's pray. I'll pray with you. And later on, you can be like, I can't believe I just did that. And you call your friend and be like, oh, I just did this. I just called this person. I didn't even know. That was God working in you. But when you focus on the boldness part, and not on the being with Jesus part, we get it backwards. And we fail. And those demons are out there going, I know you and you, but I don't know you. The musicians, you can come up. We got a short one tonight. I think when we hear messages about boldness, it's very difficult. And this is not towards Pastor Roy. This is what I feel in my heart when I'm hearing this. I feel really twisted in my heart because I know there's some things I need to step out and do, right? We're not just talking. Pastor Roy isn't just talking about being bold and, like, sharing the gospel. Like, it's a lot of different things. We could be bold and say, hey, I might not be great, but I'll go try to teach Sunday school. You know what? I'll try to be an usher. I'll try. You know what? I'll try to help. You know, they need help at church. I'll try to help. I don't know anything about vacuuming floors, but I'll give it a go, right? And so there's this broad spectrum of boldness, right? And so, but I think there's a fear. I think we fall into two camps. Maybe there's more, but these are the two that I think there's this one camp of people that says, I don't know where to start. I don't think you can just step out there and say, I'm bold now, right? I think there's a group of us that's like, yeah, I don't just jump in and say, this morning I'm bold. Derek, I'm going to be bold today. This is it. This is me now. Changed man. Completely different. And to that group of people, I would say, that's okay. That might not be your natural tendency, but if you trust the process, if you will connect with God and be filled with the Spirit and pray for boldness, there will be boldness in your life. Boldness that comes from the Spirit. Not boldness to argue with your spouse. Not boldness to unfairly request something at work. I'm talking about boldness in the Spirit. And maybe you're a part of another group. Maybe you're part of that group where they say, Pastor Roy goes, you need to be more bold. You're like, yes, I'm in. Let's go. Where are we going? I've got it. I'll figure it out. I'll replace the timing belt. Let me give it. Give it to me. Give it to me now. Never done it before in my life. Never even driven a car, but give me a timing belt. Let's go. And to that group, I would say, that's awesome. But don't forget about the Spirit. Don't rely on your strengths, your confidence in yourself that you probably have, and forget about the Spirit leading you. Either way, whatever camp you're coming from, God wants you to know, I've got your back. I've got your back. Romans 8:31 says, what are we to say about these things? If God be for us, who could be against us? It goes on to say, who can bring accusations against us? Who's the one who condemns us? Who can separate me from the love of Christ? And who can affliction or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sore? No, in all these things, we're more than conquerors. There's a confidence that comes from being with Jesus. And so in those moments where, okay, I've spent some time with Jesus. I've tried to connect. I'm not telling you days and weeks and years and 40 days on a mountain here, people. I'm saying try to find some time to connect with Jesus, right? You'd be surprised if God can do huge things with a grain of mustard seed. I'm sure he could do some huge things with some connections with you. And so I'm saying, find a little time. And then when the moment comes, step into it. And trust the process that has happened. Trust that, you know what? I've never done this before. I've never prayed with somebody at the altar. I've never witnessed to somebody at the grocery store. I've never XYZ, insert whatever here. But you know what? God's got my back. I'm going to step into it. Because I trust God in my life. I love Luke 12, verse 11. It says this. Whenever they bring you before synagogues and rulers and authorities, don't worry how you should defend yourselves or what you should say. It's not written here between the two verses, but he's saying, don't practice how you're going to say this to them. Don't have your script ready. First off, scripts aren't going to work because they could ask you 1,000 questions and you could have the wrong one. Don't worry when they do that. Why? Verse 12, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at that very hour what must be said. That's stepping out in boldness. But guess what? If we're not listening to the Holy Spirit in the pastures with the sheep killing lions, we're definitely not going to hear the Holy Spirit when a giant needs to be killed. Right? And so God's message for us tonight is, I've got your back. Stay with me. Stay in the flow. Stay connected with me. I've got you. You're going to step into some weird things, some awkward things, but step into it. Trust your pastor. You step into it because I've got your back. Let's all stand today. And so I don't know where you're at. I don't know if you're one of the people that will charge into hell with the water bucket. Or if you're somebody that just, I'm not even going near the ocean. I'm just nervous. God wants to use you. God wants to use you. That's literally why he came, to seek and save the lost. And he did it. He's like, I'm going to make a difference in 12 people and teach them how to make a difference in other people. Which means, yes, there's an all-powerful, almighty God that can come down and strike everybody. But he's saying, Eric, I want to use you to reach the circle around you. Sister April, there's a circle around you. I want to use you to reach, right? And it's okay. I got your back, Sister April. You don't have to know every single word. I'm going to give you some words. You just stay close to me, right? And so it doesn't matter where you're coming from. God has our back when we step out. This area is open. You can sit at your seat, pray at your seat, pray down here. But if you don't know what to pray for, then I got an idea. Let's pray for boldness.
Yeah, that's right.
And if you don't know how to be bold, maybe the first step is to step down, kind of boldly step and go where many people have gone before, and pray, God, I need boldness. Can we boldly ask for boldness tonight? That makes it simple. Let's pray. Come on down.
I have this confidence because I've seen the faithfulness of God, the still inside the storm, the promise of the shore. And I trust the power of your word, enough to seek your kingdom first, beyond the barren place, beyond the ocean waves. When I walk through the waters, I won't be overcome. When I go through the rivers, I will not be drowned. My God will make a way, so I am not afraid. When I am in the fire, I will not feel the flame. I'll stand before the giant, declaring victory. My God will make a way, so I am not afraid. You keep the promises you make. There isn't one that is delayed, so I will not lose heart. Here giant, declaring victory. My God will make a way, so I am not afraid. When I walk through the waters, I won't be overcome. When I go through the rivers, I will not be drowned. My God will make a way, so I am not afraid. stand before the giant, declaring victory. My God will make a way, so I am not
God's got your back. Stick with him. Stay close to him. And when you need him, he'll be there. God bless you. Have a great night. Be safe. Heal up. Pray blessings and healings on everybody's body tonight because everybody needs it. We'll see you Sunday. God bless.